podcast. Yeah. Enjoy yourselves. Yeah. Have a great time. Say what you want.
Welcome back, everybody. It's been a little bit since we had our podcasting juices flowing. We have another exciting episode of Rough Housing to share with y'all. And today we have some special guests. Some in particular who are part of our lineage here. We have Jordan Moorhead of the Moorhead team. And he's over here sitting to my left. And we have Devin Dang, who's also on the Moorhead team as well.
Yep. Yes.
Cool. Wonderful. Welcome, you guys.
Thanks for having us, y'all.
Yeah, thank you.
How long have you been working with Jordan?
Ooh, last year was my first year full-time.
Okay.
And before that, I was slinging homes on the side, working for Zillow, some other tech companies, and went full-time last year with him.
Cool.
So almost nice. almost two years.
Almost two. We started part-time, made sure I liked it, and then we jumped full-time.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right on. Roll. Right on. Well, welcome, guys.
John, we got to talk about our sponsors real fast.
Yeah.
We don't have any yet. I've got my eye on one. In fact, I was about to tell you guys the story about it, but I am in love with this Tejas Tonic. If you can zoom in, editing people. Tejas Tonic, they're out of Dripping Springs. I don't know how they do their mojo or how they fly under the radar, but it's got a little bit of an enhancement to it. And I'm not sure if it's legal or not, but a cannabinoid enhancement to it, about 5 milligrams. So you drink one of these big, tall liquid deaths. It's nothing but like seltzer and whatever. It tastes fine, tastes real herby, but they're out of Dripping Springs. Someone had like a 4-pack at their house one night, and we had some like, you know, a nice little pasta dinner, if you will. And I started knocking back one of these things. And by the time I was done with it, I was like, oh, I feel pretty good. What is this stuff? And they were like, oh, it's a Tejas Tonic. Didn't see it from there for about like a month or so. And then I was driving next to a Ghost Note Brewery off of Ranch Road 12. This place is right next door, and they sell the hemp products. And a part of the hemp byproducts that they use, they make this stuff.
I didn't know you went to the factory itself. I thought you like lucked into it or like lucked into a pallet. I got
right into Willy Wonka's. Yeah.
You went to the chocolate factory.
Cannabinoid factory, yeah. And so I ended up talking to the guy, one of the guys who's actually not even the guy who works there, but one of the guys who promoted it. He goes, oh yeah, you can just buy a case online if you want. So I was like, hell yeah, order me a case. And just, you know, I don't want to go too deep, but I want to have some like, you know, some juices flowing. But this is going to take like an hour to kick in, if anything.
Got to pee a lot.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'd rather be hydrated, because not always do you want to have these So we were saying one of our podcasts got a little bit too deep on like the alcohol side. We started saying some shit we probably didn't want in the public, and so we canceled it. But there's going to be times where
let's rephrase.
He's got
you and I did not cancel.
I didn't cancel it.
Our guests said that they were uncomfortable with it, Aaron, which we want to respect anyway, right? It's like one of those deals where we do it. When we first started this, the podcast schmegma was flowing heavily in our.
I'm not sure if that's a phrase.
in our veins. I mean, I've been holding on to this podcast schmegma for a while.
Sir, do you?
Yes, I know. But we got a little sauce and just were real excited, and we ended up doing it for like 2 hours. And
oh, wow.
So there was like a Linda front Ramsey end, there was like up. A back end. It was awesome. It was a blast. And so we rolled with it, and then they, about a week, probably 3 or 4 days after that, they were like, yeah, we're thinking about maybe not doing it. One of the guests was like, I can't have certain things, you know, outlined, which is fine. We respect it, but we always say that's in the catacombs, man. One of these days we'll dig it up and
yeah,
be some sort of like time capsule.
Publish it when they're not paying attention.
Yeah, here it is. We're old, it doesn't matter. The impact doesn't matter.
We did enough editing to really remove any real like true barbs, and we like whenever someone said like a like some sort of like private label or something like that, we put like a black mark over their face, X'd out the audio, so like you couldn't hear anything, you couldn't tell, you could only infer. But you know, they didn't want to go that far. That's fine. I get it. Give it a couple of years, and maybe they'll come back around. Hopefully, if we can get some awesome sponsors and stick around for long enough,
yeah,
we can do it. But I was going back with this. Tejas Tonic, I would love to sponsor you guys. I would love to get either some free cases of this thing, or at least just, you know, help us keep the lights on and the cameras on. Anybody else who wants to help sponsor us, we'd love to set up something with you. We'd love to run ads, live reads, taped commercials, whatever y'all want to do. We want to insert you. We want to get your message out of there. So please let us know. And big or small, we'll figure it out. But thanks so much.
Yeah, either way, let's try to get this thing some legs so that we can get some more followers and more viewers and more eyes on and ears on us. So to do so, like us, hit the bell, subscribe. Let's get this thing blasted out. Share these videos and podcasts where you see them so that your friends can watch. Everybody can join in on the fun. So let's do it.
And finally, we always have our disclaimer that we want to talk about here. Look, we're not here to, you know, I'm not sure what pretense Jordan got you to come on this podcast, but we're not here.
I'm forced here against my will.
Yeah, I know. He'll be put back in his cage at the end of it. But we're not giving advice, not life advice or investment advice. Take it with a grain of salt. We're being real and honest, having open conversations about real estate. Mm-hmm. This is an industry level podcast. Take it as if we are just riffing at the end of the day at the bar somewhere and just talking amongst ourselves. It's really what we want to do. If anyone gleans any special nuggets out of it, kudos to you, but don't get mad at us. And if you just feel like you're going to be easily offendable, then see your way out, because this is not the podcast for you. Let's just end it right now and call it friends. But otherwise, if you plan on having a good time, stick. If not, then guys, join me in a go on now get. 1, 2, 3. Go on now get. Shoo. All right, that's our spiel. So I originally wanted to bring Jordan on because, Jordan, you were the inspiration for the podcast in the first place. One of the inspirations. We had a few. But you had me on yours 3 years ago?
Yeah, several years ago. And John came on a year ago, maybe 6 months to a year ago.
Yeah.
You were supposed to, and you bailed and went somewhere else.
I was supposed to be both of us.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, I can't. Something's going down. There's a cat stuck in a tree.
Yeah.
Something like that. But then John came away from it. He was like, hey, we could do this. He was like, that wasn't bad. It was kind of fun. And I remember you gave me kind of like free reins on the mic, and I just kind of went to town.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I was like, man, it feels good. Who knows what audience reach or who was giving me a personally like a thumbs up off of that. But it feels good to be able to express ourselves in those situations. And there's a lot of deep thoughts to be having about what we do. It's not something that can be captured.
So much is to like, because what's 60 to 90 seconds on Instagram or whatever, YouTube shorts, it's just so much of real estate requires so much longer of an explanation, and everything requires so much longer of an explanation than just a 60 second reel or a short. And that's why I like the podcasts a lot too, is you get to talk to people and hear all different perspectives. I was just on a different podcast and we were talking real estate investing strategies, and we had a few friends in common in San Antonio. They're all doing different strategies and they're all massively successful at it. So I think that no matter what, there's just something to gain off talking to people in a longer form. That's why I love podcasts.
Do you feel like, is that like a steady part of like your educational diet besides kind of like reading something online? I love the avenue of finding out who's out there, what are they using, what's being successful. Like, is this, it seems like you're probably very consistent with it. Am I mistaken? If you're going on other people's podcasts, doing your own, yours is still rocking them.
Yeah, right? Mine's been going since 2020, March of 2020. My experience with podcasts, both for myself and I would say others, is they're a great place to learn about things that you can then go learn something more about. What I mean by that is I get most of my book recommendations from podcasts. Or I learn about other longer form pieces of content from podcasts, and I go listen to those. I don't learn much from social media.
Yeah.
Then I don't get book recommendations from social media. I don't hear about the book long enough on social media to say, I want to read that book, and then go read it. You know, but I probably read 2 to 3 books a month. I would say I get 2 of those at least from podcasts, and just learn about so many different topics, and it just expounds from there.
Yeah, I can imagine it getting bigger and bigger. Devin, what's your do you have any podcasting experience or anything like that? This is not a test for you, but are you a part of what kind of Jordan does, or do you have your own thing? Is this something you explore, or do you have podcasts that you enjoy?
Yeah, I've jumped onto a few podcasts. I got a neon light in the same mic to just kind of get me ready, you know. It just makes me like feel like I'm ready to start a podcast whenever. But been practicing for a little bit, and I think the big theme I've learned from either consuming content, listening to YouTube, books, whatever it is, I think a lot of times it's a checklist, like how many books can I read in a year, and how many podcasts podcast. And now I'm trying to only listen to one or two podcasts, only read one book over and over, because it's the number or amount of information you actually remember and actually use and actually take into action. So I think a lot of the times people kind of get stuck in that loop of like, I'm learning. So all that to say, I'm rereading the same two or three books over and over now. I listen to podcasts and YouTube in my pastime, but I listen to really all in podcasts from time to time.
Oh, I like that podcast. They're really good.
So I'm just like, how do I take some of the things that I'm learning and then actually apply those things?
That's cool.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Do y'all listen to the all in one?
Yeah, I listen to the, I would say on a weekly basis, I don't listen to, like Devin's saying, anymore, a lot of different podcasts. I used to just consume them like crazy. It's like it was an addiction for sure. I think I burnt out on that. Bigger Pockets got to the point where they were releasing two or three a week. And I said, this is too much. I can't do this anymore. But I always listen to the all-in podcast. I just find it interesting. Lots of interesting stuff. I'm investing in mobile home parks right now. And I listen to mobile home park investing podcasts. But besides that, if I just get bored, I might listen to a Tim Ferriss podcast or something else. But it's really it anymore.
Yeah, I noticed my... It depends. YouTube will give me like their suggested ones, and I always kind of tiptoe around. But that was how I found All In, probably about 4 or 5 months ago. And John, it's a podcast where you have like these four guys who are big in the tech world, and I think that do they own their own respective companies?
They're venture capitalists, so I think they each probably own a company or two, but then are also in tech investors and other companies.
Right. And they have like a very strong business sense, but also like great commentary on like what's going on with the like wider world. Even if it's political or whatnot, I've heard them talking. Who's the guy with like the white hair and slick back?
He was just on
another one that I saw that, it seems like they're just getting a bunch of attention.
Yeah,
like on theirs.
I think it's David Sachs is probably the one.
Is that who it is? Yeah.
But I don't listen to it. I don't watch it. I'm sorry.
Oh, you don't? You're all audio.
I listen to it. Yeah, well, because I'll listen to that kind of stuff when I'm at the gym or driving.
Yeah. What do you think makes them successful? For me, I think it's because they all have a wide range of views, and I think a lot of podcasts, books, it's kind of leaning into like one sphere of people, but they'll challenge each other.
Yeah.
And I think the lesson there is like, for me, it's like, how am I putting myself around people that think differently, look differently, and act differently from me? And I think that podcast has a wide range of people where I can relate to at least one person there. What do you think?
I'm in agreement. I'm still feel like I'm trying to figure out their personalities and kind of like, I've heard them talk about venture capital. But I've also heard them talk about running businesses in general too. So I guess I didn't know which companies that they had. I just felt it was that sort of like faceless tech world, because they had some where they were like just sitting in front of like a stage of people, and it just looked like
it was probably they did a conference.
Maybe that could have been what it was.
You have to apply to go to the conference. I applied and I didn't get in, and then I applied again and I didn't get in. I'll probably apply next year.
How cool do you have to be to get in there, Jordan?
I think you have to be more tech focused.
That's what I'm thinking.
But then probably like a really interesting guy. I'm sure they have other people doing the applications for them or reviewing applications for them. But yeah, I like it because they do think differently, and you get to hear people debate on the podcast. So if they're talking politics, they think differently. Obviously, if it's business, they generally mostly think it's the same, but they'll disagree on stuff, and I like that. I think we need to disagree. People disagree, and we need to talk about it.
It's okay to openly disagree and not be anchored in your positions. I think one of the ones that maybe kind of brought in front of me was like Tucker Carlson was on there,
yeah,
or something like that, and he was I can't remember if he had just come back from Russia or if it was before his Russia.
I don't think he'd gone to Russia yet on that one.
Oh, really? But maybe he had gone off on his own and started his whole network. But they brought him on. I think that was what introduced me to them, and I started following them on that regard. So real interesting. Yeah, I definitely listen to podcasts while I'm in the gym too. But I have lost, John knows this, I've lost a series of AirPods, and I have like a lefty and a righty, and now like if you look at your like, if I look at my Bluetooth list, it's like Justin's AirPod number one, number two, number three, number four, yeah. But I only have like lefties and righties, so I'll put the left one in and throw that into my onto my phone, and then have my I have an Apple TV set up in my garage gym, and I'll throw that one into the right. So I'll usually have some like music going and like the stop clock or something like that going.
You have two different AirPods in while you're working out with two different sources of music.
When I'm doing, oh my gosh, I have so much stuff going on, but I can listen to podcasts. But I listen to a lot of comedians' podcasts as well, just to keep myself entertained. If I go too if it gets too you know, businessy or too black and white, after a while I'm like, okay, I'm over this.
See, you know? I'm very one track minded, and I can listen to business stuff all day every day, but I've limited myself over the years to try to turn them off at 5.
Is that because you're newly engaged and your fiance is just like, you better turn that stuff off, I can't listen to it anymore?
Yes. but
I got him.
But I just also, I know I would just only do that. If I was not dating or not engaged, I would just only do the business stuff all day, every day. When I first started as an agent, I would work from 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning when I woke up to 11 or 12 o'clock at night when I went to bed. You know, and yeah, I'd do some fun stuff, or I'd watch some TV at night or whatever, but I was very focused and just doing my thing, you know. So and the same thing with podcasts. I'd listen to podcasts over and over and over and over, and all business and all whatever. And eventually when I started dating Jess, obviously we're hanging out in the evenings a lot of times. She doesn't want to listen to a lot of the same things I want to listen to. She has all these weird things called hobbies and stuff.
Yeah. It's great that she could see past all your like nerdy business qualities for the real you behind it. So I'm glad you
are, though. But like Devin said, too, it's easy just to get so sidetracked and listen to all different, you know, you listen to stuff. I realized that 1 year I was reading a book on self-storage. I have no interest in self-storage.
So you were just doing business books.
Just ingesting.
Just feeding the machine.
For many years, I was just ingesting and ingesting and ingesting. And eventually I said, well, I'm not interested in all this stuff.
I hate this term, but the only way I can describe this is like mental masturbation. When like you just feel like there's progress, I'm learning, but it's just like something to check off. So like a question for you guys is, do you feel like you're overstimulated? Like, when do you ever have time in silence? For me, I started driving, being at the gym, and just listening to nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only time, because we're always like from this place, there's music, there's this podcast, I wake up, I'm working. It's just like constantly overstimulating. That's become our baseline. So I wonder if you guys have thought about that, or
try working at it. Always have your own soundtrack.
Always have your own soundtrack.
I've thought about it a lot.
Yeah.
And what's worked very well for me recently is just really extremely limiting social media. So I found that is so addicting, and it's just, you always feel like you're in inputs with social media. So I just won't. I really extremely limit social media.
How are you limiting it? Because I don't have any feel apps like there needs to be like some, this guy, John, who's probably been the most quiet out of all of us, has, as far as stimuli goes, up to 10, if not 11. Responding back on social media is on like another level. He might as well be plugged in at the like
a Neuralink.
The brain stem.
Well, it's not just social media, it's everything.
It's everything.
I like the stimulus.
Text messages.
Some I love the broad like stroke. I can focus on a lot of things at once, and I enjoy the chaos. I think, I mean, there's some detriment to it. I mean, it definitely has some qualities that will fuck you up mentally sometimes, and doesn't allow me to sometimes enjoy the moment. I think that's the biggest knock is I don't.
Your kid's
don't
walking ever, for the first time.
Yeah, and I'm just like, whatever.
Vision Pro goggles are on, like whatever.
The most relative thing is like the interaction between my daughter. She's 6 and a half, and it's taken me years to really try to condition my body to slow down and say, hey, enjoy these little things, because I chew it up, spit it out onto the next one, and there's some benefit to that, especially with what we do and just all the stuff that we have going on. I mean, I like to be able to cover as many fronts as possible, but also I've been that way since I was a kid, man. I can never sit still. I annoyed my friends when I was a kid because I always wanted to go. And
how long have you been an agent now?
Never stopped since 2011.
Okay, so for a while.
Yeah,
I think that's an agent thing too.
Well, right. I think I was predestined to be an agent. I think it came before the agency, and I finally found an outlet that let me plug in and really go wild. And it's hard for me to slow down and stay on one thing. So the opposite of you, I think I'm more efficient and leaner when I have the vast stimulus kind of running around me. So I enjoy that, but I also see where the social media piece is hard for me, and that's the distracting piece, which there's no efficiency to it or any sort of like beneficial outcome if I'm just wasting time on social media, right? Like with work and like responding to people. Someone sent me something that like successful people respond quickly. Like that, like there's some sort of, you know, I guess vibrato to that when people need to get a hold of you and you're able to respond to multiple different people at once. It just kind of allows you to be more articulate with your relationships and whatnot. But the social media piece, that's a void.
How do you define quickly, though? I mean, and how do they define quickly?
Readily.
Successful, define quickly, is that 5 minutes? Is that an hour? Is that 3 hours?
I don't know if it was stamped as like a timeline. It's more so just dependability of response
time.
Sure, 100%.
It's like
overall, yeah. the catch-all being able to be approachable and dependable when it comes to responding to people that are trying to get a hold of you.
I think you need to respond within 12 to 24 hours to everything, you know.
Agreed.
I think that's probably the baseline.
I probably lean closer to the 12.
Yeah.
12 hours, but yeah, I mean I think if you get beyond the 24, I mean we teach you know, the people that we work with, and you know, staff members is a weird term, but the people that run our businesses, it's like if we see a lull in the communication, I mean, that's the biggest piece of how you can turn people off in any business setting. It doesn't matter how good you are at what you do or how attractive you are on any platform. If you don't respond to people and communicate well.
But if you're really hot.
If you're hot, you then you just to have her. A trunk card.
So Justin gets away with it.
But yeah, the response thing is big, but Back to your deal. It's a balance, man. Everybody's got to figure it out. Yeah. We're in this chaotic world right now where it's the lights pass you by every second, man. It's like, which one do you focus on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, there's a reason why agent burnout is a thing, right? Why do so many people drop out? Because I think there's this lack of boundaries that we have in our life. And it's like the more input I have, the more money I make, the more output. And last year I was extremely burned out because my goal was to respond to everybody within like 10 or 15 minutes. Oh, wow. And I got to the point where I was like answering texts while I'm driving, sending voice notes. And I almost like crashed into somebody. And I was like, how much worse could this get if I did this exact same thing every day for the next couple of years? Like, I'm increasing the chances of something going wrong. So I pulled up, not Maslow's hierarchy, Eisenhower matrix. Have y'all seen that before?
I know about Maslow. I don't know about Eisenhower. Please tell us about Eisenhower. This would be a wonderful time to have that view screen we talk about.
Yeah. So if we had it up here, we can pull it up or edit it. There's the one
editor,
axis.
Put it somewhere that's not in someone's face.
Right there. There's one axis that's important, how important to not important, then urgent to not important. And there's four squares. And depending on how important urgent is, it determines whether you respond now, whether you delegate it, whether you schedule it for later, or just completely eliminate it. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, I just got to do everything right away. But now I've learned like a lot of things can wait. And I think it's the story we tell ourselves, like, this person needs to hear from me. No, what was the expectation set in the beginning of when I would respond? It's expectations versus reality, not the story we tell ourselves, I think. So
the flip side of that, though, is there's so many people that are in our industry that they can go find that will respond to them quicker. So that's my combat to let's set expectations and not feed the masses what they want. If that person wants to get a hold of you and you're placating yourself more so their needs, not to say that you have to bend over backwards every single time, but I don't like that excuse of set expectations, you work on my schedule. To me, that's bullshit. If somebody wants to do something now, we live in a world where they can snap their fingers, find somebody who's going to jump when they need them to jump. So that's where you have to find that balance. It's like you can't slip too far and be like, I will get back to you on my own accord to make myself more peaceful. Part of this business is you have to be okay with some of the uncomfort that comes with having so many different bosses and having so many different people that you have to feed and actually talk to when they need you. You know, it's like, I don't know how y'all operate, and I know how a lot of agents operate, but like weekends and vacations and stuff, do y'all unplug or do y'all engage?
Weekends, I'm there. And Sunday's the only day I take as a Sabbath, religiously, where I set the expectation I really don't do anything that day.
So if a buyer came to you and was like, hey, you know, at least what's your dialogue if a buyer is like, hey, throws you a Zillow listing, $850K, hey, can you get some information on this? I'd like to set it up. Do you respond or do you kind of just punt it to the next day?
I punt it to the next day, only if it lands on Sunday. Every other day, I'm there.
So Sunday, someone says something to you, throws it at you, you don't even respond?
I respond like, hey, I'm going to get back to you and set the expectation.
Well, it's a touch, I mean, you kind of map touch, it out. Yeah.
I've started to use the Google feature where, because I have an addiction and to responding quickly, but I've started to use the Google feature where I'll send it in the morning. Like, I'll look at emails at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and I probably won't respond after 8 o'clock at night, but I'll schedule it to send in the morning. I'm pretty quick with email, and I'm pretty good at responding to social media messages. I don't have social media on my phone, but I have Business Suite, which links Facebook and Instagram on my phone. I don't really see a reason that I need to respond to Twitter messages on
my phone. Is that mainly for, that's not for lurking or observing, that's more for posting?
You only can see your posts and respond to messages on it.
It's just
so that's been
it's a singular platform to kind of chat.
The only thing that
no lurking involved.
So you're a nighttime email reader too. When I go to bed, check and first thing I do before I fall asleep, first thing I do when I wake up, which is insane. And some of these things are on the extreme, right? But I mean, if I do kind of have a timeline where it's like, unless it's like a. What gets me the worst when I'm lying in bed is when someone calls me out on something I fucked up on because it gives me angst and I can't sleep. It's like if I get something from one of my clients like, oh, fuck, why did you list this thing as a 3-2 instead of a 4, just referencing.
Yeah, sure.
You know, if I get that at 9 o'clock, I'm out of bed. I'm fixing it because I won't be able to turn off until that's done.
I don't see them that quickly usually. I don't have a lot of notifications. Obviously, if a phone rings or somebody texts me, I get that. But, I just check it every so often, and I'll like Devin said, I'll prioritize. If it really needs to get responded to now, I'll respond to it now. Right. But a lot of times I'll schedule it to send out the next morning. We have a good admin team that takes care of a lot of the stuff that I would probably mess up. Right. And I don't necessarily... I don't keep bringing my phone in the bedroom so that I get around that, but not bring my phone in the bedroom.
That's good.
But leave it in like the kitchen or something?
I have an office and I leave it in the office. And I don't check my email until about 8 or something in the morning. I get up around 5:30. I do my whole miracle morning deal. Then I'll check my email around 8.
What's a miracle morning?
I was going to say, we're going to have to dive in that one now too.
Yeah.
Miracle morning. Trap card.
Awesome book. amazing book. There's like 17 different, I don't know how many different versions. There's a lot. There's one for agents. There's one for investors.
There's like 10 or 20 different ones. I can't even keep up at this point.
It's like a morning regiment?
It's a loose morning routine. It's suggestions of things to do in the morning. And I've talked to Hal, who's written the book, and you by no means need to do everything he lists, but it's what worked really well for him. He's just given an example. So SAVERS is the acronym. Silence, affirmation, vision, exercise, reading, and scribing or scribe. So what he means is you take some time to meditate, silence, whatever that is for you. You take some time to do affirmations. I don't really do that one. I've tried it. I've never really gotten
good enough. I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like
me. Yeah, I use
I have pride. I have power. I'm a badass mother who won't take no crap off of nobody. Name that movie.
Cool Runnings.
Kiss the egg.
I do the 5-minute journal, so there's affirmations in the bottom of that thing, I believe. I think that's what they're called. Vision is like vision board. I don't necessarily do that, but I visualize a lot of stuff anyway. Exercise, obviously, I love exercise, so I go to the gym. Thank you. I love to read.
Very toy.
So I read every morning, and then I journal. So that's my morning routine. I get up early, I have some silent time, you know, I read a little bit, I journal, and I go to the gym.
Any cold plunge?
No cold plunge.
Oh. Have you tried it?
I've tried it. It's hard.
Life changing, dude. Yeah. I bought a plunge pool towards the, I guess, middle to end of last year. Yeah. And I've, you know, it does take a little bit of acclimation and kind of, I guess, just self-torture almost, but I've gotten to a point now I have to do it every morning, man.
Yeah.
It lights you up. It's fucking phenomenal. I love it. If you're regimented like that and you want another element to kind of shake it up,
get one. It's even if it's a fugazi type placebo thing.
It's a tub and ice.
The big thing is that the mental barrier that you have to knock down every morning to go do it. It's like I'll wake up out of bed sometimes and it'll be, you know, this morning I did get up at like 6 because my daughter had a field day at her school and it's pitch black and little brisk, you know, nothing crazy. And it's like, fuck it, just do it. And you that kind of mental just wrestling you do with yourself is a benefit. But then there's tons of health benefits too. And it lights you up. It makes you,
it's 10 times better than a cup of coffee. I did it one time over at John's place. I was like, can I come in through the like front door? Can you give me the code? And he goes, just go around back. And I was like, so I have to go through your back gate. Like I'm casing the place. He's like, yeah, just go. He didn't even let me get into his house.
I didn't know where I was. It could have been locked. Who knows?
It's not like companies together. Yeah. You weren't there. You're like, go around back. So I went around back and I am now embracing there's a couple of things in my life that have changed and I'm now kind of embracing the don't sit there and just wait because the anxiety will build. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as I saw it, I went, but I picked out my song. This guy's a madman. He doesn't do songs while he's doing it either.
Silence. There it is. There's your silence time.
That's my piece. So there you go. I do 3.5 to 4.5 minutes and it's 38 degrees like a champ, dude. It's I'm telling you, I love it. I'm kind of like a cult follower now. It's like, if you don't cold plunge, what are you doing in life?
It's about your mornings and how
the whole
how you
thing is like
and
the
going.
And the I just I don't know. It's like that. You go to war with yourself all day, every day. It's a human, right? But like this is a little element in arena where you're like, okay, it's me versus me.
Man in an arena.
Let's go.
Well, and I think that's the Miracle Morning is about similar stuff. I'm sure you could do that as part of Miracle Morning, and a lot of people do. But it's not about getting up early. It's about getting up earlier than you do.
Right.
So if you get up at 9 normally, get up at 8, you know, and take some time for yourself before you get started. That's been the most important thing for me. I've been doing some sort of morning routine for 5 or so years.
I like that.
But just getting up before I would normally get up and taking time for myself and not looking at email right away. Right. Because honestly, what's going to change if I look at email at 8 or 7?
Nothing. You're going to start working earlier. Nothing.
Yeah, I'm going to start working earlier. That's all.
My thing, it's I guess with me, it's like I have a very busy mind, and it's like I have a checklist. You know, that
well, this is how you quiet your mind. And I know. You get in the cold plunge and freeze yourself to death.
I do, but before I get to that point, I've already gone through all my emails and got up, had some of my athletic greens. I mean, there's some regiments that happened before then. It's just a chunk of my morning. So I relate to that. The 5-minute journal piece, I want to ask you a few questions before we get into some actual real data on housing stuff. But
we don't have to talk about it. Yeah. Just talk that, hey, this is how agents are. Like, we can live, breathe in this, but we also have to survive in this environment, which, like, your first year is like a 95%.
That promotes tools for agents to survive.
And don't worry, there's enough tools as it's agents. Like, hey, how do we worry about it?
But so I recently have started trying to force myself to journal. I was told by somebody to write down, at the end of the day, 5 positive things that happened to you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in a relationship piece, like, you know, I've been recently pretty intense in a relationship, so I try to do 5 positive things relating to that. And then to take it further, you know, 2 or 3 things that I've had issues with or whatever, just some sort of like mindsets that have challenged me during the day. It's after kind of saying what I've said this whole time, it's very hard for me to articulate that, slow down, sit there, write it. You know, it's hard, but I've done, I think I'm like 25 days into it or something like this. And sometimes I have to force it. It's kind of like the cold punch, right? It's like sometimes you have to make yourself do it, but it's like 5 minutes. It doesn't take long for me to jot it down, but I like it. So, what's the 5-minute journal?
5-minute journal. And I think you do 5-minute journal too. So 5-minute journal is 3 things you're grateful for right away. 3 things that are going to make today great. And I might be butchering the exact wording.
No, that's right.
And then some sort of affirmation. I'm blanking on what they call that.
Yeah, those are the 3 main things. Yeah. What you're grateful for, what would make today great, so you define it instead of doing it more.
Right.
And 3 things you're grateful for.
Yeah.
So
just starting there.
It's so I've really been kind simple. Of 5-minute journaling a little bit.
Yeah.
A little kind of different version of it. But.
And then they have the bottom part of the page is like the night part too. So
it's a template. Reflection.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a template. I've done a bunch of different ones. I did Grant Cardone's 10X journal for a while. That was cool, but much more business focused.
Okay.
And that was, I have all my journals from over the years, so it was cool to look back. And man, it must have been more than 5 years, because I have the 10X planner, I think what it's called, 10X planner, from before I bought my first duplex in 2016. And I remember it was like, there, I will statements or what it was.
Right.
It was, I will own a duplex. And looking back on that now, I'm like, that's so easy, but it was such a big deal.
That's what got us started.
Sure, you get to, this will be the cool runs to come over this. I have pride. I have power. It's like, yeah. It's very much so like that. It's like,
yeah.
I held back a little while ago, but as you guys were talking about, like, you have to hit these like five things, and immediately made me think of Val Kilmer from The Saint, where he has to do like three good deeds to win his sainthood. You never saw The Saint?
Yeah,
I feel like I've seen it.
One of those deals where I never heard one of that I didn't retain. It wasn't good enough for me to like put it in the vault.
Elizabeth Shue, looking great.
I get it. She was great. Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead. That's when she said hello to the world.
Hey, baddest spot yet. Sorry, Elizabeth Shue tangent. Elizabeth Shue and
let's get a picture of Elizabeth Shue
in The Boys. can we make Elizabeth Shue happen in the The Boys TV series?
She's very sensual.
A bad bee right there.
Okay, so, and then the journaling, so you kind of cap the day off, or you start the day with some journaling?
Start the day with some journaling. I try to end it with some journaling, but I forget most of the time. So I would say a couple days every so often, I'll journal at night.
So maybe I need to start, but it's just it's a little challenging, because you get lost in it, and then I'm tired, I'm like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I would think that, like, what's changed my mind, and I'm the same way, like, I've always just done do when I'm exhausted, and I think learning not to do things is just as much of a skill as learning to do things.
Absolutely, and you hit on that, it takes probably more effort if you're so intertwined with, like, the go, to slow down and actually not do something. I think that's harder than maintaining the flow and rapid pace, in my life it is, at least.
It's still really hard for me, but there's a certain point where you continue to do more, and I think we have a conditional happiness. When I do XYZ, then I'll be happy or okay or content, whether I make another sale or get that job promotion. But I've just gotten to the point now where it's like, yo, I have enough already. I set the expectations. And to make a reaction to your point earlier, it's like, I think the nighttime routine is even more important than the morning, because your morning starts the night before. And I'm a nerd when it comes to nighttime routine. I'm one of those Austin guys. For you, it's the cold plunge. For me, it's the blue light blockers. Nice. I got the orange shades on. Every single light in my house at 9 o'clock turns to red because it's the lowest color in the Kelvin
spectrum. Is that sort of like a Google
you got Philips Hues?
Yeah, one of those smart lights. It's a different brand, but same thing.
Okay.
9 o'clock, it changes. So my mind mentally now is like, oh, my cutoff time is now. And my first alarm goes off at 8:30. I have a bedtime alarm.
That's cool.
Like I'm a kid again. Yeah. But 8:30 is my first signal. 9 p.m. is like, yo, this is when everything cuts off. Everything turns red. I put my phone in the kitchen. And I go to my room and read. And for me, that signaled everything. Because if I read an email right before bed, what's the first thing I'm going to think about when I wake up? That anxiety. And then now I got to do more. And then I go to sleep. And it just kind of has a cycle, man. So that's just what really helped me out.
And I like that. And I like adopting some of these things. I also... I love the chaos. I don't think it's not a, to me, it's never really like overly damning to where it's like, I need to get out of this rat race. I enjoy it. When I slow down, I find myself being more anxious and itchy than when I'm running and gunning, which maybe has a shelf life to it. I mean, at some point I'd like to retire. People that know me well, I'm always saying, you know, I'd like to retire at some point, and everybody's like, you're never gonna fucking retire. Like,
who knows? I think that the idea of retirement is a little funny anyways. Depends on what you're doing and what your role is, right? You can always change your role or change what your focus is. John knows this. I have done a lot of effort to curb communications and also to maintain a reasonable schedule. But I can also say, after being in this for like 15 years, is that a part of it is like, a part of being a sailor is like understanding that the ocean like will always have its like ebbs and flows, but also it's unpredictable too. You kind of have to roll with it. Leverage really helps tremendously. I think that's probably one of the biggest spots to kind of get your life back. But you have to kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? You got to be able to weather the storm. And you don't always get those choices. It's not always going to be bright and sunny. You have to kind of go through the shit to kind of figure out what you can handle, what you don't. Figure out what expectation setting you're going to do. Determine what's important. The rest of that stuff. I get having to to maintain kind of like balance, like in it, finding equilibrium, I think is what I wanted to say. You got to find equilibrium with these things, but it's never going to be perfect. It's always balancing, not balance.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I don't ever want to retire. I enjoy what I do. And I think that's the key. If you're enjoying what you do, if you absolutely hate, I hated every job I ever had. You know, all the jobs I had, I hated them. And I haven't had a job in a long time. But I just remember, I see people saying, I can't wait to get off work. I've not felt that way in more than a decade. And I've just not had the, oh, I can't wait to be done with work. It's usually, I need to stop working at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's not, I'm not saying I don't have any sort of work-life balance. And me saying I answer emails at 8 or 9 o'clock, it's when the opportunity arises. You know, it's not like I'm just sitting there waiting. But I enjoy what I do. I like doing it. I think retirement would be a bad thing for me. I've seen my father's 71. I would say he is mostly retired within the last year. He's an agent. So he's
a sales agent?
Yeah, he's a sales agent, real estate sales agent in Kentucky. He's just not doing a lot anymore. But I could tell he's bored sometimes. You know, and I think you do too much of that and you end up in a nursing home, and you're in the nursing home enough and you end up in this and that, and then eventually you're in a wheelchair. But I think people that, I mean, watch Charlie Munger did an interview a week before he died. He was on TV a week before he was dead. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was 96.
Yeah, it just depends. Like you need something to keep you relevant, and
mentally
alive,
stimulated.
Mentally, I watched my grandparents kind of like spend their golden years watching QVC and cable TV, and that's pretty much what they did because they ran out of stuff to do besides go to the store and get their hair done or something like that. You need something to be engaged with new people and new ideas.
Exactly. You don't need to work 80 hours a week, and I think that is detrimental in its own way. I'm in a mastermind, and the people who are more elder in the mastermind have absolutely shifted to a much more work-life, not work-life balance necessarily, I would say life-work balance, where the work is the minority anymore, and they're well off enough to do what they want.
But it took the trenches
grinding
the
80
to
hours
get the
a week
and that's my
to get
point.
There
it's like,
for a long
of
time.
Of course, I'll tail off, but I mean, I guess my retirement goals would be to hit that sweet spot to where I have enough money to where I can still engage with whatever I've built throughout my lifetime that I will never let go of until I, you know, fucking hit that straight line.
Succession.
I'm never, exactly. Yeah. Very, very good reference. Yeah. Same thing. I'm never letting go of it until I can't do it anymore. So, like, my kind of idea of retirement, my dream is to be able to have enough money to where I can tap into work shit when I want to.
Yeah.
Have the leverage and the wonderful people below me or with me, around me, next to me, that can do what needs to get done on the day-to-day basis. And then I play golf and ski and travel and fucking...
Yeah, but you can only do so much of the travel and get bored, you know?
I think I'm very social. It's like, whatever, I'll go, you know, take a road trip across Texas to go watch some band play or something.
Yeah.
I just mean where I can do more things that I want to do instead of kind of have to do. And that's my point. Everybody that always tells me, like, it's the work-life balance. It's like, okay, well, what did it take to get there? It took you bleeding in the trenches to gain the financial freedom to have that work-life balance.
Well, in that traditional work-life balance is you retired at 65 from the career. Right. And I would argue that, and again, not had a job in a long time, I would argue that a lot of people that have jobs don't like their jobs.
Most.
So you suffered through your job for 65 years so then you could have freedom.
You just start living at 65?
It's yeah, like, no. I don't dislike what I do right now, and I still get to have some freedom now.
If we're 65, 65 years old, and we're maybe a few little LLCs under our belt that we're managing, we got some people that take care of the day-to-day, and one of your good old-timer buddies once is like, hey, let's go do a real estate deal, and you go saddle up, you go, you know, put some pen to some paper and write a contract. That'd be fun as hell.
Wow. So I've got a mentor. I consider him a mentor. I'm in a mastermind of a guy that owns a lot of mobile home parks. He's 63, and I might have butchered that. I might be wrong. Dude,
he's like, I'm 52.
I know he's in his early 60s. He's a beast. I went and I listened to him in Houston. He'd driven to Houston from the middle of Missouri. And then the next weekend, he'd driven back to, well, not weekend, 2 days later, he'd driven back to Missouri and was doing a conference, a virtual affordable housing conference. A week or two later, we were in Southern Michigan at an event he was hosting. The point is, he does what he wants, but he enjoys it, and he does it just at a furious pace. And that's why he
probably doesn't let it, it doesn't bother
him. Slow him down.
To let it invade his life a little bit.
Yeah, his wife was with him both times.
No, not his wife.
No, I'm just saying he's enjoying what he's doing. Oh, he's spending time with his family. You know, he's flexible and does what he wants when he wants, but what he wants to do is these things.
Exactly. You have to fall in love with whatever your career is. And I was going to say, John and I have a business Breckenridge trip coming up.
Yep.
And we're definitely going
to check out real estate.
We're checking out real estate. The
ski lodges of Breckenridge Village.
So yeah, we're checking out real estate. We're also going to be taking care of deals while we're up there. I mean, I can't recall any vacation trip that I've taken, at least within the country, that I actually even in Mexico, I've taken a laptop just in case.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
I wrote an offer in Italy at 1 a.m.
Oh, what's that?
I wrote an offer in Italy at 1 a.m.
And how fun is that? You're like, ha-ha.
That was the first house I sold in Austin, actually.
Really?
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. I wrote the offer in Italy in the hotel bedroom at 1 a.m.
That's dope.
Italy time, which was what? 5 p.m.
We all probably have stories like that. One of my greatest is my bachelor party. I'm sitting in this fucking penthouse in Vegas. I got this buyer on the phone with me. Hammer, my buddies are doing drugs and shit all around me. I'm sitting in this fucking table. They put the big dick meme like as my background, so I open my laptop trying to have a serious conversation with this buyer. See a big dick just start trying
to get out an offer. The dude from COVID, or no, that was
no, the dude, the, you know what's what I'm talking about. He's sitting there, the one that took over the internet for about a year. But those are, to me, my friends that aren't in the business that we're in, so foreign to them, and they bust my balls, be like, why are you working so hard, you know? And then, you know, to me, it's, I enjoy that kind of part of it. Being able to do it from wherever and just, you know, stroke a couple keys, send off something, and make some money.
Well, when you get good at it and you're also helping people build generational wealth through real estate and real estate investing, it's
about people. I don't ever want to let my people down. So it's like, I could have said, I'm busy right now. To me, that's deflating if I put myself in their shoes. Somebody excited about buying their first house. They're like, you know, they don't want to wait for me to go get drunk with my buddies on my bachelor party. They're like, let's write this off.
They don't need to know.
If it were me, whatever it may be, I don't care. You know, most of the people, I'm pretty transparent. They probably knew where I was doing what I'm doing. And I always get the cliche, I hate bothering you on your trip, but, you know, so that's always the conversation I get with people. But you know, I don't mind it. But it's like, I always put myself, you're right. It's like, there's an element of that. It's like, I don't want to let you down. I always want to know that if I wanted something pretty quick, someone would jump for me that I needed to make it happen.
And with the right leverage, you can get covered. So like if you're on our team and you're saying, hey, I'm going to be out of town, I need somebody to cover it, we can do that. Or, you know, I've got admin staff that can cover on our listings a lot. So I do a lot of listings. Yeah. I got engaged a couple weeks ago.
Congratulations.
I think it's a couple weeks ago.
You better get it right.
I saw that Facebook profile change, and instead of just giving them a little love heart on there, I decided to reach out personally and just be like, dude, congrats.
Thank you. Awesome. Yeah. I had my admin handle the phones that weekend because the phones need to be answered.
Absolutely.
Like you're saying. But it doesn't always have to be me answering the phone.
Well, and that was early on in my career, and we have a phenomenal support staff. I mean, I think we got someone cranking out in our office right now, throwing up 3 listings for me alone and whatever he's doing. And it's like, we've gotten to a point where we can do that. I ski a bunch every year, and I only ski on the weekdays because I hate the weekend traffic of skis. So I literally, every single ski trip I go on, and we'll be doing this next week, is in between runs on the lift, I'm getting out my phone, I'm teeing up
stuff.
That's
the wildest thing.
Someone's like,
I can't watch him do it. I worry about just like,
Well, I've done it so much, and it's like I'm
oh, on
I'm
the lift?
Yeah. On the lift. Yeah. Like on between, the lift. Between runs, you know, people off. Call me, and it's like, you know, I'll have a buyer or something, or a seller that's like, hey, you know, what's up? If another agent's calling me about one of my listings that I need to answer. There's certain things that the admin staff can do, but at the... You know, the kind of the the head honcho, I guess, has to kind of tee it up to be appropriate for it. There's certain aspects that I need to delegate, but I enjoy checking in on that. The way that my brain works, I'm probably crazy and need to adopt more methodology that you seem to be tranquil with.
Look how cool Comic
Collective is. I know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, give me some of that.
He
chugged a couple of your Tejas.
Dude, you want a Tejas? Yeah, how many of those have you had?
I'm too chill. I don't know what I'm going to do if I drink
this
that.
This is going to take forever to get going.
Yeah, but you might need a couple more of those.
Shotgun it, man.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, when you down that much water, you're definitely gonna have to pee too. Yeah. So it's like you're hanging out with everyone else who's drinking. It is what it is.
But it's just the angst of like knowing that something needs to be responded to and being able to respond to it in a timely manner. I like checking that off the list in my own head, which is fucking probably pretty crazy. But
I agree, man. I love the chaos as well, and I don't believe in work-life balance. I know it might sound like I do, but I believe in work-life integration. It's like, what do you love about what you're doing and still continue to do that? So there's maybe 20 things that you do consistently as an agent a week. What are the 5 things you like to do? What are the 15 I can leverage out? Yeah. And then I can still do the 5. Like, I don't ever plan to stop working. Like, I took 2 months off to go travel around the world. I was in Vietnam and Thailand, I had somebody helping out, but I was still closing deals, still closed the listing, still did these things while I was overseas. And after like 2 weeks on a beach with the pina colada, I'm like, what do I do now? I'm so bored. Yep. Like could not wait to come back. Yeah. I enjoyed it, I had great experiences, but it was really just validation. Like, I really like what's happening here. Let's build more, but let's just make sure I don't do the things I don't love.
But I think you need those breaks so then you cannot wait to come back. Because if you never take a break, then you don't know you don't enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
I agree. So that's kind of the equilibrium piece.
That's the burnout people get is they never stop, you know? And then
my personal vacations strategy is like one vacation every 5 weeks. Because after about 5 weeks, I've kind of run through my routine for like a number of weeks, and then I need to get out of town.
Really?
And I feel like that's been it. But you're right; it does make you have the appreciation. One thing I was hearing is that everyone was talking about like chaos. Certainly, there's chaos. I mean, anything can happen. The phrasing I like to do, the framing I like to do in my mind is the thrill. And that's what I'm like. Like if I'm in Italy and I have my laptop with me, and I know that something's happening. Ooh, I can get this offer off quick, and there's a little bit of a dopamine rush with like getting something accomplished, or someone said, "Hey, I want to get something going," and I say, "Cool, let me pass you to the admin team and see if they can get you started on this XYZ." It just feels like a little bit of a dopamine response, right? It doesn't hurt to have good things. Obviously, it sucks to have terrible things, but you're still going to suffer through. You don't want to wait to find out something terrible happened. You probably want to know.
I like the travel aspect of what we do. It took me a while to kind of figure that out. I'm one of those people, if I lose a client or lose a potential business deal, it resonates with me. I remember one time my ex-wife dragged me to North Carolina. It was a wonderful trip. We got to see the Biltmore and everything, and it was great things. It was fucking awesome. But I still begrudgingly, on the flight, I had a seller that was referred to me by another agent. So not in my sphere. And those are the ones that you have to respond to the quickest, I think, especially when agents give 2 or 3 referral options. You know, it's like, if you don't, she called me, left a voicemail, was like, "Hey, I heard great things. I have a listing and we want to buy something." So it was like a double deal. I get the voicemail when we land, you know, I'm in the air. She sends it to me. I call her. By the time I get out of the airport, she's like, by the time I was in flight, she already reached out to another agent that captured it. It's like, I get it. That one's extreme. Hold your horses, lady. But I mean, when you get teed up something like that, where you need to actually captivate it and capture it, that was early in my career where, you know, every deal was a little bit more impactful, right? It's like you can stand to lose a few later on, hopefully, but I remember that one being like, "Fuck, I'm never flying again."
I'm taking a train.
Someone needs to be able to call me. But and it's
well, that's where you need somebody to answer your phone when you're not.
Well, when you're a fresh agent, new man.
Well, we were
still kind of working out. It was when Justin and I were starting Tower, dude, and it was just us two running. Yeah. You know what we had, and we were throwing every penny we had back into building the business.
You either have to get a great team, or support system, or leverage. Yep. Either way, it works. It sounds like you guys have something that works. You're able to kind of go travel for a while and go do deals. You're able to go do deals out of the country. I know that you have. It feels like you have stuff going on in Kentucky and here. Is that correct?
Good business partners, though.
Yeah,
so is that where your mobile home parks are?
I don't sell. Yeah, we have a mobile home park in Kentucky. We have a bunch of houses in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I don't sell any real estate in Kentucky. I still sell some in Minnesota, just a handful of deals a year.
No kidding.
And I have a great team of agents that I work with there. They're not on my team.
But you're connected.
Are you from Minnesota?
No, I'm from Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'm connected. Well, yeah, my dad's an agent in Louisville. That's how I got into investing there, from there. He's an agent there. Everybody always asks. They think I did some sort of due diligence on the area or did some research, and I said, no, I just knew people, you know.
It helps.
I'm familiar with the area.
You have kind of like your areas to where you're building, you're focusing, obviously, like where your home base is. You're probably going to have your strongest, you know, network of people, staff, support, whatever it might be. But it's cool to have it when you have it. It takes a while to get it, or at least build it. But once you get there, now then you can start to kind of figure out what's going to work, what's not going to work, so that way I can do this job and not burn out or lose my mind or lose my family or do whatever other sacrifice you feel like you have to make just to reach some level of success.
Well, I think burnout can happen for so many reasons too. Burnout can happen because you're getting too busy as an agent and you don't take enough breaks. I think burnout can also happen when you try to do too many different things at once. I've had that happen with me a lot.
It's like watered down service when you start spreading yourself too thin.
I get busy doing different things. And that's what you talked about, the invest. So that's a lot of the reason why I invest the way I invest. Is I invest with business partners that make it really easy for me to stay involved as a real estate agent in Austin and not overextend myself here too. So
exactly.
Yeah.
You can't be the operator of everything that you touch.
Exactly. The only reason this works for me and the way it works right now is we have a great team here in Austin. That helps a lot. And then to do the investing thing, I have a great team on that side too. My business partner takes care of most of the operations side of things. And he's in Louisville, so it's easier. And we've got a good property manager and good partners on the mobile home park. And, you know, I'm partnering on most things now, not because I don't want to do it myself or I couldn't buy it myself, but because I don't want to take the time to do it myself.
You can do more things.
Yeah, that's the whole point of figuring out investments. But very interesting stuff. I didn't expect it. I thought we were going to talk about house hacking.
I don't think we're talking about house hacking.
But like I said, it was never going to work. House hacking didn't happen, but we did talk about Zen. living in the life and how we're like managing these things.
So I want to go back. I'm not a big podcaster. I don't nerd out on all the kind of educational stuff, and I obviously see the value on it. Mm-hmm. I love it because of this kind of arena where you can get a bunch of heads together, talk about perspectives, what works, what doesn't work in your life, and just change the variable as far as what the topic is. So I don't have enough knowledge on different podcasts to spit out stuff. I do know Andrew Schultz. What's his podcast?
I think is it just the Andrew Schultz
podcast? Well, no, because he's got
I know,
like,
who he is.
Well, the reason I reference this because talking about like different perspectives. Now, he's got, I'm seeing him in like 2 weeks, he's coming to Moody.
Thanks for the invitation.
Sorry, my buddy Josh did it. Whatever. Yeah. But he's got multiple different people. He has different races that they all kind of like race slander from their own perspective and their own perspective race too. So it allows them to have this platform where there's no barriers as far as like having, you know, emotions involved, because everybody has their own opinion about their own personal stuff, and I just enjoy that part.
It's like
I just want to say that
it's like a guy version of The View, if you will.
Pretty
like
much, yeah. There's
like a more open liberal, and more open comedian.
Well, they blast each other. It's pretty. I hate that. I don't know what it is. It may just be the Andrew Schultz podcast, but there's like five of them, and they all just let it rip, dude. And that's the shit I dig.
Comedic podcasts also are what I listen to when I work out too. I need something to kind of build me up. Guys, I want to be respectful of our time. Obviously, we could keep on going. Devin, I want to hear more from you. And the one question that I would say I'm just going to have to just put in here, but probably not get my opportunity, was just like, you've been working with this guy for two years
almost
now, you said?
2 years.
Give or take, two and a half,
like,
yeah.
You know, what's keeping, what, it's been.
Have you ever seen him rattled?
Rattled.
Yeah, never.
No, nope, cool, calm,
he's
cool, calm and collected. Always.
I heard rap for some reason with what you
said.
I was thinking rap.
Like, oh, you're a rapper too? Jordan, is there no. that
Jordan drop?
Grace, can you drop a beat?
DJ D-Rec.
Jordan's got the bars, man. He's about to
I was going to ask Devin, because it's been so long since we've been in those shoes, you know, like, what does it feel like from like a 2-year perspective? But I give you 2 minutes just to rattle that off if you can. What is it like for 2 years and just surviving? You got past the first year. Doesn't 95% of us bomb out? What happens on the second
year? Your first full year was great for you.
Right around 20?
Yeah, great first year.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I had all the knowledge capital around me to where I didn't have to figure it out on my own. And I think a lot of agents go individual, and that's the difficult thing. Like, Jordan was always there. Jordan was the person that helped me buy my own home. And I saw him do what I wanted to do. And I was like, I want to work with the same people he does. So it was very easy for me to join his team. And he put me in a system in place with the transaction coordinator, with the systems, with the people, to where, you know, KW has amazing training. So my first year full time, although it was difficult and it was a lot of burnout at times and just trying to figure out where my boundaries were, you don't really know where your boundaries are until you have a chance to cross them. And last year, I know what I did wrong and how I'm going to iterate this year. Mm. What is my response time? What is my expectations? And then who do I want to work with? Because there's one or two clients that take up so much time, effort, and energy that I would chase down. And I think the biggest takeaway I had from last year is try to get to know as soon as possible. Tell them the reasons why it may not work right away, so you don't spend 6 weeks working with them and then they tell you no for that reason. So I'm just trying to get to know as soon as possible, find my people, and leverage social media to do as little as possible for my lead generation and marketing.
Nice.
It's the best when it just comes to you, man.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when you, and when you get to pick and choose, yeah, right?
Sure. Yep.
That helps.
That's the juice. Well, you guys have been great, man. We appreciate you guys coming on and hanging out with us for a little bit.
How can people find y'all? This is your opportunity for shameless plugs. Jordan, where can people find you? What do you want to promote? We'd love for you to kind of show.
Say the Austin Real Estate Investing Podcast is a great way to find me, and I'm at Jordan_Moorhead on Instagram. And Moorhead is MoorHead.
Wonderful. Devin, how can people find you, and what do you want to promote?
Yep, Instagram, DangDevin, ATX, DEVIN. And then you can check out Creators ATX. We're building a faith-based community. We're taking the fight to loneliness and building community and building co-living communities all across Austin with programming. We have sponsors already. So we're just going to grow that out. And our goal is to get to 100 homes by the end of the year.
That's awesome.
That's badass, cool. Man.
That's a wonderful mission. Of course, I am Justin Rourke. And everyone can find me on all the show description
she
on the
sells,
notes.
She sells.
By the she shirt. And this is my counterpart, John Pico Baby Martin. How can people find you?
Just look
in this. They're in the same show details. Anyways, guys, one last thing that we want to do before we go on to get who should we be talking to that you may know?
Call out one person you'd like
to say someone needs to come on here.
So your business partners in here might be good too.
My boys from New York, Tim and Charles, we're building the co-living business together.
Nice.
Building a campaign, and I think you guys got to talk to them.
I think that'd be cool. That's a very press. Just even for like
I'm walking here.
The housing board. Yeah. Christopher Walken. Jordan, anyone you feel like you want to challenge or say, yeah, this might be something.
Anybody you could find about the home initiative and this new density that Austin's bringing on. I actually had somebody reach out today and said he got something approved. Potentially it's going to be much bigger than what would previously have been allowed.
No driveways.
Oh, wow.
You have to park on the street.
That might be an issue.
It's going to be an issue. They have to hammer it out. I had a lunch with my architect a couple weeks ago. She's tuned in.
Losing her mind?
No, she was just like, you can have extra structures now. You can put another one on there, but you can't have driveways.
Yeah.
Impervious driveways?
Yes.
They're already going.
But there's other things too that she was ripping it out. I don't want to repeat
some of them. Anyway, it's another podcast, another show.
Yeah.
We will seek this person. Yeah. We will find them. We have special skills.
Let's get Tracy Kelly.
Oh, fair enough. Thank you, everybody. This is another wonderful podcast. Have a good one. Enjoy it.